And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, a pastor of a church in Castle Rock, Colorado. Dave Buhner also in studio with me, another pastor and a father of five himself, as it turns out. Anyway, friends, today we're going to talk about anonymity in the big city and hospitality and how hospitality and Christian fellowship trumps the anonymity of the big city and, of course, the entertainment industry today. I'm going to start out, though, with the story from CBS News. 60 Minutes came out just a little while ago. And here's the way the story starts out. One of the biggest cultural changes in the United States over the past 25 years has been the widespread acceptance of sexually explicit material, pornography. In the space of a generation, a product that once was available in the back alleys of big cities has gone corporate, delivered now directly into homes and hotel rooms by some of the biggest companies in the United States. It is estimated that Americans now spend somewhere between or around $10 billion a year on adult entertainment. And oh, by the way, that's about $150 per year for every adult male in America. $10 billion a year, which is as much as they spend attending professional sporting events, buying music, or going out to the movies. In 2002, Comcast, the nation's largest cable company, pulled in $50 million from adult programming. All the nation's top cable operators, from Time Warner to Cablevision, distribute sexually explicit material to their subscribers. How much does DirecTV make off of adult product? Quote, they don't break the number out, but I would guess they'd probably get a couple hundred million, maybe as much as $500 million off of adult entertainment in a broad sense, says Dennis McAlpine, a partner in McAlpine Associates, who has tracked the entertainment industry for over two decades. I would think it's probably more than what their overall profit is. The other areas are losing money. That's making money. So, Dave, evidently, the way that the cable companies make money, or these DirecTV satellite companies make money, is by way of the adult entertainment. That's how they do the break-even thing. That's the break-even part of the business. And then there are the big hotel chains, Hilton, Marriott, Hyatt, Sheraton, Holiday Inn, which all offer adult films on in-room pay-per-view television systems, and they are purchased by a whopping 50% of their guests, accounting for nearly 70% of their in-room profits. One hotel owner said, "We have to have it. Our guests demand it." Finally, Dave, now some of the adult entertainment is moving from the cable into the internet, and we know that. We've been talking about that for a number of years on this program. And friends, here is something this is the chart of the day from SiliconInsider.com. Dave, porn sites' unique monthly visitors between 2009 and 2011. All right, two-year period. Dave, this is zero. This is 5 million. Most of them start out at 5 million. Now they're up around 25 million. Okay, so that's a factor of 2 to 3 times the download unique visitor rates at these porn sites in just 2 years, Dave. That's a 250%. The 300% increase in just 2 years between July of 09 and July of 11. So that is Silicon Alley Insider chart of the day. Porn sites unique monthly visitors up 250% to 300% in just 2 years. That's called exponential. That's called hyperbole. That's the hyperbolic function we sometimes talk about on this program. So friends, all of this has taken off, and what right now, friends, we're very, very concerned about the average American young man, certainly older man as well. But I think another statistic we pulled out last week was 80% of young people, young men, 18 to 25 years of age, do porn on a regular basis. That is at least regularly monthly, regularly weekly. We're looking at 80% of young red-blooded American males using this kind of stuff. And Dave, a lot of this happens in anonymous situations where they're living in an anonymous situation. They have their media in an anonymous situation. They don't use any covenant eyes. There's no real accountability in their lives. And men, businessmen, oftentimes wind up in this sort of thing on business travel. When they're on business travel, in fact, one of the very first examples of business travel in history is Judah. You remember Judah in the book of Genesis, Dave? He gets on a business trip. It turns out it's sheep shearing time in Timnath. So he's up in Timnath. He's away from home. He's sheep shearing. And what does Judah do? Again, the son of Jacob, one of the sons of Israel. Judah is up in Timnath on a business trip, and they're sheep shearing. But that's not the only thing they're doing on the business trip. Remember, he's with his friend, the Canaanite. He's with his friend. They're hanging out, doing the business trip thing. And Dave, how many times has a Christian businessman been on a business trip, and he's hanging out with other Canaanites, whether it's sheep shearing or some kind of Silicon Valley thing, Okay, how many times has he been hanging out with the Canaanites on a sheep shearing business trip up in Timnath? And what does Judah do?
Well, Judah finds himself a prostitute, or a prostitute actually finds Judah, because it turns out that Tamar was actually looking for Judah specifically. And he ends up having a child
and
his daughter-in-law.
Yeah, exactly. It may be the most embarrassing story in the Bible.
Well, it's embarrassing for a lot of reasons. One is he has a child by his daughter-in-law. Secondly, she knows it's him. She's got his visa, as it were, and his calling card. And
so he left his credit card.
Yeah, he left his credit card.
He's got footprints all over the internet. His sin finds him out.
His sin finds him out.
And you know, Dave, a lot of people's sins are going to find them out.
Right. Now, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, Kevin, because you know that what they call pornography, the definition is constantly moving, because our Supreme Court justice, I think it was Hugo Black, said, I don't know what it is, but I know what it is when I see it. Right now, it's mainstream. The big pay-per-view cable companies, the HBOs, the Cinemaxes, the Showtimes, are mainstreaming pornography. Now, what they're doing is they're taking what was pornography of the 50s, they're mixing it into their shows, whether it be gladiator shows or shows about ancient Rome or thrones and so forth.
Right,
it's just part of it's part of the drama. It's inserted. It's expected. It makes it a big seller. And so what was porn in the 50s is now mainstream in the 2013s. And that meant that porn itself had to move to even more explicit and more evil.
And Dave, 14 years ago, I got out of the corporate world and began traveling with my son and with my daughters and with my family. Over the weekend, I traveled with my son to South Carolina, and I traveled with my two daughters to a father-daughter thing out in Chicago, Illinois. But Dave, 14 years ago, I shifted the way I did things. Now, prior to that, I was in the business world. I was in business management. I traveled worldwide. I traveled across the country, did it all the time. And Dave, through the 1990s, television was a problem with me in the hotel room. It was an issue for me. Now, what would happen would be HBO, Showtime. Those would be the channels, right? And they would present some edgy stuff. And I was not super accountable with the sort of things that I was watching as a young man on business trips, watching HBO and hotel rooms in the 1990s. And I'll just confess it. It was not edifying for Kevin Swanson. And Dave, you know, as I got out of the corporate world and began to reflect on this idea of travel, I began to move more and more towards traveling with my children, with my family. Now I can hardly even see myself. I mean, I'd be lonely without them. I'd be lonely without some kind of Christian fellowship. And sometimes people ask me, like, you know, this weekend I traveled out to Chicago and Steve picked me up at the airport. I said, Steve, we're staying with you, right? Well, it turns out we couldn't because Steve, you know, was doing foster care with some sweet little children and needed a lot of medical attention and so forth. So Steve didn't have his house available, so we were in the hotel. But my preference tends to be to hang out with Christians in these areas, Dave. I mean, I've met some of the sweetest families where I've traveled and I've stayed in their houses. I've eaten at their dinner table and I've learned a lot about their families. And I think they have shared with our gifts and our experiences as well. So over the years, Dave, over the years, I don't think I could say this of me in 1998, that I would prefer to stay with a Christian family over staying at a hotel. But more and more I do. And I'm finding that the hospitality provided by Christian brothers and sisters in Christ is very edifying. And it pulls us out of the anonymity of the big city. You know what I mean by anonymity of the big city?
Yeah, there's a sense at which a man is traveling. I traveled to where you think your sins won't find you out.
Yeah,
and you can do things that you'd be ashamed of in another situation, but you can't do that when you're around other people. So what we're saying is the solution here is relationships. Now, I'd like to say that, you know, part of the problem is that we allow ourselves to be entertained by fornication, and we say there's no nudity, therefore it's not pornographic, and we're okay with it. Well, we shouldn't be okay with it. Okay, because God says that is the improper place for sexual expression.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it be fornication, whether it be adultery, we should not allow ourselves to be titillated by those sorts of things. Rather, we should reprove the works of darkness. We should defend the holiness of marriage, as Peter tells us, that the marriage bed is holy and undefiled. That's what we should do. So we should work on the relationship within our marriages if we're married. And when we travel, we should have relationships with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, if we don't have relationships with them, this is where hospitality really comes in. That's entertaining the strangers. You go to a place where there is Christians and you make a relationship.
And that's where we want to go on this program. We've talked a little bit about the problem. We have cursed the darkness. Now we're lighting candles. And in a moment, we're going to light a candle in the window with the Bowen family. And this is a wonderful solution, friends. A wonderful, wonderful example of how Christians are solving problems, engaging hospitality in a lost and lonely world, and developing relationships. The Bowen family and acandleinthewindow.com is next on Generations. Stay with me. You've got to hear the story.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring two conferences, one in Washington State and the other in St. Louis, Missouri. For families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy, this is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business streams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, farming panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including free-range farmer Joel Salatin, entrepreneur Eric Weir, and Kevin Swanson. Join us for our four-day mega conference in St. Louis or the two-day fall conference in Olympia, Washington. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast, my friends. Today we're going to talk about something that's very near and dear to my heart. In fact, we have been talking about this for 3 to 4 years, it may have been 5 to 6 years, and about a year and a half ago, a family, a Christian family, a homeschooling family, decided to launch this idea onto the internet, and it has taken off, and I say praise God for this because we're looking at an explosion of hospitality, the taking care of strangers amongst Christian homes and Christian families all around the United States, in fact, all around the world. And this thing is beginning to take off more than ever before. And it's so important. And this is why it's so important to me, friends, is because, number one, it's biblical. Number one, we're supposed to do the phileozenia. That's what Paul calls us to do in Hebrews chapter 13, to love the strangers, to engage in hospitality. Phileozenia is not just to fillet the strangers, but to love the strangers. And we're just really encouraging folks to do that through the exercise of hospitality. But also, in the present world where everything is so derelationalized and schools and education and universities and teaching and business and households and entertainment and churches have been very derelationalized. Very little hospitality going on in churches today, and people don't connect very much anymore. And of course, the medium by which we connect is through email and through texting. There's very little connection of human to human much anymore, except for the fact that there are Christians out there throwing the flag on the play and saying, no, 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 we've got to find ways to re-relationalize our lives and bring relationships back to a lost and lonely world. This is very important, friends. It's important in order to sustain the Christian faith and in order to be like Jesus, whose form of education is not a seminary, but it's kind of a discipleship thing where they all get walking sticks and they walk and talk and eat together. And after 3 years, voila, he's got 12 disciples. It's a relational approach to life. And it's something that the modern world knows almost nothing about because of the worldview of existentialism that John Paul Sartre and others have imposed on our world. Well, we're looking for great ways to incarnate these ideas. And one of the greatest ideas I have seen over the years that I have broadcast on this radio program is the Candle in the Window Network. And it is the Bowen family that set out to accomplish this. And Teresa Bowen is now with me on the program after a year and a half. The idea has taken off, and we're so excited with the progress that you've made. Welcome back to the program, Teresa.
Thank you so much. I love what you had to say. So very true.
This is so needed today. And it's so cool that you guys have pulled this thing together. And you told me off air, 400 families from around
almost
the world.
400, yeah. We're almost up to 400 right now. 58 different countries, so we're getting around the world, yeah.
So it's not just America.
It is not just America. It is not just America.
Mm-hmm. How are people finding out about it?
Well, programs like yours. We talked with you about a year and a half ago after we launched. Uh-huh. We got people get in touch with us from all over the world. We've had a chance to speak at different conferences.
Mm-hmm.
We sent brochures to different ministries that have been a blessing to us. And but I tell you, most of all, it's just word of mouth.
Yes.
You know, I'll say we have a little block on our profile that's how did you find out about us? And by and large, somebody will tell somebody else and they'll tell somebody else. But thank you for having us on. This
sure.
is a great way to get.
And my goal is that you're up to 1,000 within the end of the year. You know,
I join you in that goal. That would be great. But we don't want to stop at 1,000. We would love to see thousands and thousands of homes around the world, not just so that we can be big, but that. So, you know, there's something that happens when you break bread together around a table and you sit down and you light a candle. You know, more often than not, God draws us closer to himself, but he draws us closer to one another.
And Teresa, just since we had the interview, our home has been open so much in the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. I think we probably had another couple thousand people come through our home over the last year and a half or so. And from so many different states and probably 7 or 8 different countries. In fact, I got to tell you this story. About 2 weeks ago, it was on Easter, we had some folks over for Sunday night, and there was a family from out of town, and they were eating at our table, and we knew they were heading back to Oklahoma, but it was late, and so Brenda said, can we have them more? I said, sure. So we invited them over. Well, I woke up on Monday morning, and I forgot they were in our home, and I walked out of the bedroom with my pajamas, my hair is a mess, and there they were in the kitchen. I thought, who are they? What are they doing here?
You know? But you know what?
You got to remember who you're having over. You know?
But you know what? I love that because I think part of hospitality is inviting people in to see us as we really are.
Yes.
And we're dependent upon God.
Yes.
It's not being Martha Stewart. I mean, we make things special so that other people will feel you are loved. You are special to God. You are special to me. But I think we get sidetracked if we think, you know, I don't have as big a house as so-and-so, and I can't do this. You know, hospitality is not about your house. It's not even about how many people you have over.
Uh-huh.
It's just about reflecting the heart of God.
Yes.
You know, opening our doors, opening our hearts, and offering refuge in Christ.
It's possible to stress out over hospitality. It seems like that happens a lot. You know, my wife has made so much progress in this, too. You know, I think early on it was much more difficult for her than for me. I was raised on the mission field. My parents, you know, very committed to that vision.
Mm-hmm.
But why do you think people stress out over it?
I think because we have bought into modernity, which is Google. For one thing, Google hospitality, and everything that comes up will be hospitality industry, where you go in and it's a lot of money and... You know, or we've bought into the Martha Stewart that this is what hospitality is.
Yes.
That's entertaining, and there's nothing wrong with doing things beautifully with excellence. I love to do that. But I think we have to get back to what is more important. Is it more important that my surroundings look perfect, or is it more important that I can invite this person in whose heart is breaking?
It's not about us showing off our homes and being proud about who we are because of how wonderful our home is.
Mm-hmm.
It's about us loving others. It's just that simple, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Think about the places over your life where you have felt the most loved, the most refuge, the homes that you were drawn to. You know, you probably can't remember what they served you or what the dishes looked like or even what color their couch was. You know, but there was a feeling, there was something about the presence of that home, and it was Christ. And anybody can do that. You don't even have to do it in your home. There's been seasons in our lives where we just get a bunch of people together, let's go to the beach, or you can invite another family and go to the park. It doesn't have to be in your home. You can just, we tell people, be creative. Include people in what you're already doing. You know, if you feel like, oh, I've just got to add this next Christian activity, and I'm already so booked. Well, what we've made a practice of doing is whatever we're studying whatever we're already doing, invite other people to join you.
Sure. So, yeah. And there's a delight. There's a reward. You know, the day after they leave, or that afternoon when the guests leave, it feels good. Doesn't it feel good?
It does. It does feel good. And, you know, sometimes there are people that are harder to love than others.
Okay, sure.
And that's biblical hospitality, too, because I'm sure I'm not lovable to God all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of it as well.
Yes,
But I guess what we want, we do want A Candle in the Window to be for us to facilitate people getting in touch with other people, but we also want to be a resource that just inspires people to delight in hospitality.
Mm. And it is such a blessing to our children, too. We're trying to train our children to engage in this, yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I always encourage people, don't wait for your kids to grow up and things to be perfect, because they will miss out, and so will your guests.
Right. Well, let's explain to our audience. I know some of our audience probably has no idea what we're talking about. We did bring this up about a year and a half ago. How does Candle in the Window work?
Okay. Well, we would love to share that. We are an online network of Christian households that open up their homes to one another for either a meal or an overnight stay of 1 to 2 nights. Anyone can visit our site. It's online. It's www.acandleinthewindow.com. And anyone can visit our website and see our locations and benefit from our resources. However, it's not until you join that a person has access to the member directory.
Okay.
And only members can contact other members through our site. We never give out last names or addresses. We protect that. You would send someone a request through our website, and then you would write back and through through email. You can go on, and if someone sends you a request, you can go on and read their profile. There's some pretty extensive profiles. But only you can give out your name and actual address. The location icons are approximate. They're not. We guard your privacy.
Right. Are there references or anything like that?
We do.
We
request that our members have a reference letter from either a pastor or a Bible teacher, or someone that maybe has known them a long time. We keep those on file, and then those can be requested as well. You can learn a lot from the profiles, actually, though. It's pretty extensive, and begin to get an idea. And also, we have feedback at the bottom. If somebody stays with somebody and they send us an email, we'll post that to the profile.
You know, one of the things I've discovered in opening up our house to so many folks from different areas is that the body of Christ is all over the place. And we have a limited expression of the body of Christ in our local assembly. And that's important. You know, local assembly is very important. But what we get from a Christian brother from Zambia, you know, we had a pastor from Zambia stay in our house for a week. And just, you know, the sorts of things, different perspectives, different experiences, different gifts, different graces. It sort of enriches you when you meet all these different people.
Yes. That's one thing that actually we've stressed. I just talked to somebody about this last week. As we've cast a vision for A Candle in the Window, we've stressed that, you know, despite our many differences, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are one. And be gracious when your host or guest do things a little differently than you do.
Like our friend from Zambia, you know, we went down into the bedroom there, and he had the bedroom at like 89 degrees in the middle of winter. You know, and he'd never seen snow before. But, you know, here's a guy who lives roughly on the equator. And so it's like, wow, it's sweating in here. You know, wait a minute. He's from Africa. You know?
Yeah. And don't put ice in his glass.
Right. Yeah. It's been a real neat experience for us as we've gotten to know folks. Now, I guess my encouragement to listening audience is to really connect with this program and you know, check out a candleinthewindow.com. But I think what we want to do today, Teresa, is outline some of the areas in which you need more assistance. I know there are some states where you have folks in 58 countries around the world.
Right.
Where would you like to see some activity?
Well, we offer a charter membership, Kevin, to the first household that joins from each state or each foreign country.
Okay.
And I was telling you earlier, we've got members in Iraq, we've got them in Pakistan, countries that are pretty far out there.
Yeah.
We do not have any members in Vermont.
Oh boy.
In North Dakota.
Okay.
Hawaii.
Okay.
Rhode Island, Arkansas, Delaware, and Nevada. So those states are wide open. If you have any listeners there, we are offering a free charter membership to the first household in each of those states. And we would love to have at least one household in every state. Some states, Colorado, you guys are very hospitable.
Okay.
Florida, there's some states that are just, you look at the list, when you go on to our website, it's alphabetical order, first of all, foreign countries, and then the United States. And some states just have a number of families, but we're looking to have at least one family in every state.
Okay, folks, anybody out there listening from Vermont, North Dakota, Hawaii, Rhode Island, Arkansas, Delaware, Nevada, if you are from any of these states and you listen to the Generations Radio broadcast and you do not contact Teresa Bowen, shame on you. I think that's the way we're going to say it. And it is acandleinthewindow.com. Is that correct?
Yes, www.acandleinthewindow.com.
Okay. Okay, that's where you need to go, my friends. If you are open for this idea, and not only do you get the opportunity to bring folks into your home, but you all, the whole network opens up to you if you're traveling internationally, if you're traveling nationally, if you're on a business trip, and you happen to be in Chicago or somewhere, is somebody there?
Exactly, it's a reciprocal. It's so that you can host people, but it's also you stay in other people's homes when you're traveling. So we have a lot of missionaries. I might mention we also give free memberships to missionaries.
Okay.
And we have missionaries from all over the world. And the way that we're a little different from a lot of the missionary rosters is we ask the missionaries to open up their homes to us on their mission fields. We're really excited about being able to be a blessing and to help missions in that way.
Right. And, you know, I know a lot of folks are sort of drawn to maybe hotels, and there's some fun things about hotels, but there's some anonymity there, especially if you're traveling alone. But also if you're traveling as a family and you just want to have some interaction, some fellowship, some hospitality from another Christian family, and just a chance to get to know as just folks all over the country. And here's the other thing, Teresa, something that folks need to remember is these vacations can be rather expensive. Take a family of eight across the country, more often than not, you've got to get two hotel rooms. There's that problem. And we run into that all the time. Occasionally, somebody will let you just, bring all seven kids into one room. But that's pretty rare where that happens. And so if you're thinking, do I really have $3,000 to work my way across the country and to visit, parents or grandparents or go to Disney World or, wherever, this could save some money. I mean, it could really save some serious money.
It could. We've had several people that have done just that. We had a couple of families from Europe that came over and traveled across, and a family from Canada went to Oregon and actually worked out not over overnights, but then they would work out a meal at halfway between the next family.
Okay.
There's a button on our homepage called Member Stories that your listeners can go on and just read some of the emails that we've gotten back. I just smile every time I get one of those emails back because it's the realization of the vision we had of multiplying what was happening in our home. And even unbeknownst to us, there's these people staying in one another's homes somewhere in the world, and we get these wonderful stories back. So I invite your listeners just to go on the website and explore a little bit. We have a resource page, and we just have some wonderful quotes just to inspire you, some verses. We just added audio, so we're hoping to put a good number of messages on there, just practical advice, the biblical theology of hospitality. So, I invite people to go on and explore. We want to be a resource as well as a network.
Okay, my friends, if you're thinking, I sure would like to bring back a piece of the old Christian life where people used to engage in hospitality, and I'd like to reach out to others, and I'd like to find somewhere where my family could engage in ministry together as a team. And this, my friends, may be one of the very best ways to do it. It's called a candle in the window. .com, and I just encourage you to visit there. Teresa, thank you so much for what you're doing, and thank you to your family for all the work you've put into this.
Oh, you're so very welcome. Thanks for helping us get the word out.
I realize this may be a shift in worldviews for some of you, but friends, we want to see more relationships in a lost and lonely world. Find a way to engage more relational life. Open up your house. Engage hospitality and enjoy the hospitality of others. And you're going to find that this will be a better life in the end in so many different ways. And isn't it wonderful what acandleinthewindow.com has done? I'm so happy that we've got solutions. And by the way, you know, we were talking about this idea maybe, what was it, Dave, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, at the very beginning of the program. We said, wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody came up with something like a candle in the window or something like that? And sure enough, a year and a half ago, these folks have launched this great website. So again, check it out right now, friends, acandleinthewindow.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.